Okay, I apologize. It's been a while. It's been a long time, but let's get back into it. So we're holding in the right. We're holding in this time. We're holding the Yud Gimel. Yeah, we're holding in the Gimel. Pamim harbi matze oid lav echad. V'hu ma l'fi mashira gilin harbi pamim levazus lechaver b'maisaf rishonim or b'pkam mishpacha. This is a very, very serious issue that unfortunately sometimes a person could ultimately cause a lot of damage, a lot of difficulty, and of course being over on the Isser Lashon Hara by referring to people's past transgressions, past background, past challenges, right? Whether or not the person, you know, failed tests, or he didn't do well, he didn't graduate high school, right? Or, for example, there's a pagam mishpacha, there's some type of maybe blemish on the family, or there's a person, obviously, maybe did not necessarily do the best things when he was in high school. Yeah, you think you're being funny, you think you're being gishmak, but really, some people, just they don't like being reminded. No, some people do, some people are not bothered, and you kind of have to know and feel out the relationship, but you don't take that risk, right? Kol ish lefi and yana, everyone according to their specific circumstances. The person should be very careful again because these things could really cause tremendous damage. You have iluhu, you could cause them. You don't know. You don't know what damage you're causing. You said you made a sly comment, and then that person goes home and he's like broken inside, and he gets into a fight with his wife that day, and it just snowballs and snowballs until eventually, you know, he gets to fight with his coworker or his boss. When your little stupid comment that you think you're being funny, you ended up causing a tremendous ripple effect damage. And when you get up to Shamayim, you're going to understand the impact of every word that you had, every interaction that you had. You know, it's an important thing. A person has to really make a decision, an active decision, saying, am I going to be the type of person that when I interact with people, you know, you called me a social butterfly before, but when I was younger, you know, I had a lot of challenges as a kid. I'm not going into all the details, but certain things that were just made it very hard to live a regular, you know, childhood, you know, adolescent life in America. And I had a lot of reasons to be negative, to have a chip on my shoulder. There was a period of time where I did have like a certain chip. I was very angry, I was upset, I was cynical. And then at a certain point, I just came to a realization that wasn't helping me. And I had a very strong idea coming to mind. It was like, I want to be the type of person that majority of the time in your interactions with me, it's going to be positive and not negative. And that's an active decision. Versus, I want to be the type of person that I'm looking at somebody in a positive way that I can say, oh, I like your shirt. I like just becoming a more aware of it to be able to make a positive comment so that when you have interaction with someone, you can say something positive. That comes from an active decision. A person has to be that way. And a person cannot be the opposite. The opposite of you're just let things fly. You just kind of, you bounce from thing to thing. You're not really in the moment. You're not really actively aware of what you're doing. You can cause tremendous damage. You could really cause him such bahala. Even if it's really just truly by himself. You literally have transgressed the prohibition. May not cause pain to your friend. The Ari Barnas Dvarim. It's referring specifically to negative speech. All the more so if you said it in front of other people. I'll say a very raw thing. You know, I used to teach in your boys' yeshiva. And I was a rebbe in yeshiva there for several years. And I also started, you know, because I needed parnasa, and also I love teaching, so the more opportunities to teach, the better. So I started teaching in girls' seminaries. Now, in the world that I was involved in, it's kind of like, you teach seminaries, like it's like, what are you doing? Are you teaching girls? You should be teaching boys. Like, it's not the highest level. But that's not my opinion. My opinion is, you know, teaching Torah is the highest value. So who cares who you're teaching? As long as you're teaching Torah, that's the most important thing. And I was teaching, giving a shiur to a couple of boys in the base medrash in the morning, and another Rebbe came over to me, who I guess thinks he was a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that level of relationship that he would say what I'm about to tell you said. He comes over to me and he puts his arm around my shoulder in front of my tummy. Again, and you have to be respectful to a colleague, especially if you're teaching another yeshiva together and you have students, so you want to be respectful because you want the students to respect the teacher. Mm-hmm. and not just you but somebody else. Mm-hmm. So he puts his arm around me and he says, you think that Rabbi Kasorla knows things because he teaches in a girls' seminary? He doesn't know anything. What's wrong with it? This is what he got. And he thinks he's being funny. He thinks he's being geschmack. He thinks he's being, you know, collegial. That still to this very day rips me apart. It ripped me apart. It's like, why would you go over to somebody and say that? You know, and it makes you question, like, why would he do, like, what is it about me that he would think it's okay to do that? I allowed him to do that. It's like, that's what bullying is. Bullying is not just the destruction of the body, it's the destruction of the mind, because that person starts to think that maybe I deserve that. It's like, no, you didn't do anything. That's just bad behavior. And bad behavior should not be accepted. And a person has to be really aware of the interactions you have with people, because you never know. And this is going back already 10 years later. You never know that this story is still going to be affecting you, that somebody randomly is going to mention it in a shiras lashon shiur. And someone who puts down their friend, whether or not it's rechilas, whether it's lashon hara in front of him, in front of others, milvad sheish alav lav de lashon hara rechilas. You're over gam belav ze, the lav again of an asdvarim of causing somebody pain. Okay. V'im gino, now we're in Yud Dalid. V'im gino kol kach b'dvarim hanal, if you have now put a person down with these types of ideas, types of words, kiyotzebem, in front of him, or in front of others, ad shenishtana panav al yedeze, to the extent that his face, his facial reaction changes. Meaning we often know that his face gets red, or maybe even he like makes like a krechs, you know, the krechs in Yiddish is like, ugh. Like he gets a little bit hurt by it. Over gam kain alav de leisisa alav chet. You've now transgressed the prohibition of you shall not bear the iniquity. She is hiru ha Torah bazeh. The Torah has warned us. She lo yavai shel chaver Yisrael afil b'makom atochach ben alav natzmeh. Even when you have a good reason where you have to tell a person to do, they're kind of going the wrong direction, you're not allowed to embarrass somebody. And this embarrassment, you've no idea what you've done. You've no idea what you've caused. You've murdered somebody. That you should not speak so intensely and so strong that you're grinding the person down. You know, some people, when they ask for an apology, you have to be very sensitive to the idea that, number one, you're putting a person in a very in a position of defense. And more often than not, people will run towards being defensive rather than being honest. So you have, number one, if you want to get what you want out of it, you need to make sure that you're doing it in a way that the person will accept what you're saying. That's point number one. Mm-hmm. Point number two is you have to be, let's say you're even correct, you have to be magnanimous in victory. You know, true honesty is to be magnanimous. You're not going over to your spouse and saying, you know, I really like what you're doing. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's this. And it's like you're just grinding the person down to a piece of dust. People, in general, in life as is, are already kind of hanging by a thread. So like, this is a very fact of life. So that you're coming along, you're grinding the person down. It just doesn't help. So again, if you want to get what you want to get, From a strategic standpoint, you can't go that way. You can't grind the person down. And secondly, if you can have a little bit of empathy in your brain to realize that people in general are, like you said, holding by a thread, you're gonna destroy this person. You're gonna destroy this individual. Take into account how really intense you're gonna be, how you just grind the person down. But we lose it. We lose our set. We lose, especially in the time of anger, which is why you should never give tochach in a time of anger. You should always take a deep breath. Now, this is a common phenomenon that I think a lot of people actually struggle with. I know I struggle with it, which is that I'm the type of person also is like, okay, I'm upset in the moment, but once I pass it, I'm not going to really try to judge it up. I'm not interested, right? So it's kind of like you get stuck in this place of like either or. Either I say something at the time and I'm angry because that's on my mind, that's bothering me, and then you go too crazy and you end up actually, unfortunately, missing the mark. Mm-hmm. But then you wait too long and then you end up not caring, and then it never gets really dealt with at the end of the day. So, mm-hmm. You're always between mm-hmm. this world, between having the initial frustration, and being wrong about it, and never being requited about what you want, and then, or you wait around too long, and you never get requited anyway. Because why would I bring that up? That's ridiculous.
And in addition to that, it's like you can also develop a behavior that you become non-confrontational to the point where
it's detrimental.
Detrimental, because then you got used to like, oh, I'll just let it go, and then I don't deal with it.
Exactly.
And then you have a whole
that's
bunch
not
of
a healthy place to be.
There,
right? That's not a healthy place to be. You need to be in a place where it's not so long. It's not like a month later. You know, we're not wives over here. Right? Yeah. Come back a month later. It's like that thing that you did at 3:22 in the afternoon. Right? It's like, yeah. We can't be like that. We have to become people who are able to healthily, process the frustration in a healthy way that doesn't come out in such an intense way, but it's still dealing with the issue at hand, right? Dealing with the issue at hand.
Right.
Or a person should get over it and actually full on confront the reality that if I'm going to then move on, then it means I have to move on. It can't mean I hold on to it and I continue to maintain this frustration and hold it against that person forever. You're not doing anybody any favors at that point. So either talk about it, but talk about it in a healthy way, or don't talk about it and accept it and come and move on and saying it's not worth it. And by the way, most relationships, as we know, and both know probably, and I don't want to presume anything about you, but if something's challenging, you leave it right. Not that the challenge goes away, it's just that most things really, let's be honest, like, you know, majority of interactions, that type of things, like, okay, listen, you had your moment of frustration, like, we can talk about it later, but, like, it doesn't have to be, like, we tend to universalize things. Oh, it's this reason because of that. Yeah. No, just chill, you know, just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, now, So therefore, this idea of grinding a person down, of totally destroying them, this is, you know, so for sure, all the more so, when it's not for any intended particular purpose to right in the guy's ship, but rather you're just doing it because you're trying to get your frustrations off your chest, for sure not. The Kol Zeh, this is not even in public. I mean, that is already, they're saying that you've transgressed this prohibition. This is not even in front of people, right? But now, what about if you did in front of people? Oh, you have a voice. They made it very clear. They said, you're cut off from the world to come. You have no share in the world to come.
Wow.
That's a very, very intense business.
That's intense.
So what does that mean? Like, what's that? Like, because you hurt a person. I mean, a murderer doesn't lose his chilek in the world to come. Did you know that a murderer, if he kills and he bezdin, they aid him, warn him, they say you can't do that, and then bezdin puts him to death, he gets chayr lom haba. He gets the lom haba. But yet this person is ma'ut pnei chavero. What's the idea? Because the truth is that the whole idea is that if you can totally destroy a person's essence in front of others, you don't consider yourself part of the whole purpose of what we're trying to get back to, which is our soul going back and joining in with other souls back to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Wow.
Meaning, so what's Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the reconnectivity back to the greater whole. If you can put somebody down and put in front of others, in front of a group, you're saying that I don't believe there's this idea called grouping. I don't believe in this idea that we're all interconnected. So the fact you can destroy this person in front of others means that you don't really believe that there's another. So therefore, why would you go back to Olam Haba, where the whole point is to join with other souls to come back to the Makor HaChayim, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a very scary business. So Mr. Hashem, today we're going to love all the Jews.
Yeah.
All the best. Go ahead. Yeah.